Replay by Hannover Re. Expert insights on life and health insurance.
Why Australia is among the global leaders in retirement income, how longevity misconceptions are addressed, and what modern retirement income products require. Welcome to Replay by Hannover Re. I'm your host, Susanne Loomis, and today we'll talk to Andrea Stehr and Chris Boundy about Australian longevity.
This podcast is for general information only, no professional advice, and is subject to change. You can find the full disclaimer in our show notes.
Welcome, Andrea and Chris.
Thank you, Susanna.
Hi, Susanna. Thank you for having us.
So with us at the recording studios, Andrea, General Manager, Life and Health Global Longevity, and then Chris, General Manager, Reinsurance Business at Hannover Life Re of Australasia, is joining us remotely from Sydney. And both of them are working closely together on topics like longevity risk and retirement planning. And I want to start with that. What is longevity risk and why should retirees care about it?
Simply put, longevity risk is the risk that people live longer than expected, creating a financial risk of outliving retirement savings. As life expectancy increases, retirees face a longer planning horizon, which means they may run out of money if they underestimate how long they will live. It is becoming more pressing as Australians live longer than ever before. Mm-hmm. What we also find is that when retirees are aware of this longevity risk, it may result in them underspending during their older years, which may negatively impact their quality of life. Reinsurers, insurers, and superannuation funds play a critical role in the accumulation phase of these retirement savings in Australia. And it is a natural fit for these players to also support members to achieve their financial goals through their retirement years.
So why is this often overlooked in retirement planning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, research shows most people underestimate their life expectancy by several years, which leads to poor retirement planning. One reason is that many people plan for average life expectancy and do not take into account the probability of living significantly longer than the average life expectancy. Mm. And this leaves about half of retirees underfunded. Additionally, people often take their grandparents' life expectancy as a basis for their own life expectancy. But by doing so, they ignore the improvement of life expectancy over two generations, which is very significant. 1980, for example, doesn't feel so long ago. Mm. But between then and now, the average age at which pensioners have died in Australia has increased by more than 5 years.
And Hannover Re identified Australia as a growth area for longevity business since 2017. What made Australia stand out and why is its experience so relevant to insurers globally?
Australia has a highly developed superannuation system with mandatory contributions and large accumulated assets, yet faces similar challenges as other markets: lack of diversity in retirement income options, behavioral reluctance to annuitize, and misconceptions about longevity. So the real innovation is happening now in how we help retirees turn savings into income for life. Unlike many countries that rely on compulsion or heavy incentives, at this stage, Australia is tackling the challenge by designing products that genuinely meet retirees' needs for flexibility, access, and security.
Yeah. And Andrea, has the awareness of longevity changed since you began working in this field?
Yeah, I have started in 2009 working in the longevity field. Back then, reinsuring longevity risk was mainly a matter in the UK market. Mm. However, nowadays, this is an important topic on a global basis. In Australia, we've seen a real shift since 2017. Initially, the focus was on building up super balances, which means that the focus was on the accumulation phase to ensure people saved enough for retirement. Mm-hmm. The conversation now shifted to the decumulation phase, with a focus on helping retirees manage their income for life. For example, the introduction of the retirement income covenant has prompted super funds to develop strategies for the retirement phase and not only for the savings phase. The number of conferences, new providers, and international players entering the market, they all point to a growing recognition that longevity risk in retirement is a challenge we can't ignore anymore.
Absolutely. What about you, Chris?
For me, the biggest change over the last few years is that the conversation in Australia has genuinely shifted from how big is your super balance to how do you turn that balance into income that you can rely on for life.
Yeah.
And that shift has accelerated as funds have focused more on retirement outcomes and are investing more in this objective, particularly since the retirement income covenant came in. From a personal perspective, my recent experience has focused on group reinsurance and the accumulation side of the retirement journey, protecting members' retirement savings from unexpected events. That experience puts me in a strong position to add a local, practical lens on how those accumulated balances are now being transitioned into income solutions that need to work in the real world. Mm-hmm. And what hasn't changed, and it's something I really value, is the way we work at Hannover Re.
Yeah.
When we've looked at early lifetime income concepts, we've been able to get the right people on one call. Pricing, structuring, global longevity expertise, and move forward quickly. That combination of local insight and global experience is a real strength.
Absolutely. And looking at the pension systems, what are the main challenges you see in countries like Australia, the Netherlands, or Germany when it comes to managing longevity risk?
Yeah, those countries actually face similar challenges. We have already discussed the rising longevity risk. In addition, fertility rates are falling, which increases pressure on the pension systems. In Australia, there's a strong reliance on account-based pensions or drawdown plans, which effectively require individuals to self-manage their longevity risk. Mm-hmm. The challenge now is to shift this risk from the individuals to the insurance sector, to give people the confidence that their savings will last throughout their lifetime. The Netherlands have a strong funded systems. They are undergoing a major transition to a new defined contribution framework, where ensuring fair redistribution and designing effective longevity risk-sharing mechanisms are central concerns. And in Germany, the retirement basis is a public pay-as-you-go system, which is heavily affected by demographic aging. This results in longer retirement durations and increasing sustainability pressures. The adequacy in pay-as-you-go systems is projected to decline under these demographic shifts, so structural changes are needed. So overall, Australia, the Netherlands and Germany face a shared challenge of balancing longer lifespans and declining fertility rates with sustainable and equitable retirement income systems. And we see a lack of education of longevity risk in all three countries.
Yeah, and I want to revisit that in a moment. But first, I want to ask, seeing that Australia has one of the world's most mature pension systems, how has that shaped retirees' behavior when it comes to turning savings into income?
Australia's system gives retirees full access to their super, reinforcing a nest egg mentality. People see their savings as a lump sum to manage, not as a source of lifelong income.
Right.
The nest egg culture has been very successful in the accumulation phase, boosted by strong investment returns and a mandatory 12% employer contribution. However, this hasn't translated to an income and retirement mentality, with most retirees using an account-based pension, which gives them full access to their nest egg at any point.
Mm. So if retirees see their super as a lump sum, it would also change how they approach risk. And with that in mind, why do so many retirees end up self-insuring their longevity risk?
Yeah. In Australia, only about 3% of assets are in longevity products, compared to much higher rates in some European markets. This is driven by a strong investment culture, the desire for flexibility and behavioral biases, like underestimating life expectancy and fear of losing capital upon death.
Mm. And what are the consequences of this trend for individuals and insurers?
The result is that many retirees either risk running out of savings or they are too cautious and underspend. In addition to the misunderstanding of life expectancy, a fear of illiquidity and the preference of control over own assets drive those developments. For insurers, this means missed opportunities to manage longevity risk more effectively. And similar patterns are seen globally, not just in Australia.
And how are new products in Australia different from those in other markets?
Australia has been a real innovation hub for retirement income products. Hannover Re has worked closely with local partners to help launch solutions that combine lifetime income with flexibility, which is quite different from many overseas markets. These products often allow for flexible withdrawals, different reversionary options for couples, and investment-linked returns, sometimes with hurdle rates that can bring income forward earlier in retirement. In many other markets, lifetime income products are still more rigid or purely fixed in nature, whereas Australia has leaned into flexibility to better match how retirees actually want to use their savings.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to something you mentioned earlier, Andrea. How can education for consumers and financial advisors help overcome misconceptions about life expectancy and retirement planning?
Education is absolutely critical, both for advisors and consumers, because longevity risk is often misunderstood.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, people tend to anchor their expectations to how long their parents or even grandparents lived. But the remaining life expectancy for 65-year-old has increased by around 20% since the early 90s in Australia. And improvements are continuing. As a result, someone aged 55 today and retiring in 10 years' time can expect to live around 5 to 6 years longer than a 65-year-old retiring in 1990. Mm-hmm. And if you are in a partnership, the risk is even more pronounced. There's roughly a 1 in 5 chance that at least one partner in a 65-year-old couple will live to age 100. Wow. Without education, people tend to underestimate this risk and overestimate how long their savings will last, exactly the gap that lifetime income solutions are designed to address.
And many retirees make good decisions once they understand the numbers in a transparent way. And that aligns with how we approach product design conversations.
Australia has introduced reforms like Australia's Retirement Income Covenant and is seeing new lifetime income products. What solutions have proven effective in addressing longevity risk? And is there something other countries can learn from these innovations?
Regulatory changes, particularly the Retirement Income Covenant, have shifted the focus of super funds much more towards the retirement phase. And that's been a major catalyst for innovation. Funds are now supporting members earlier in the retirement journey, recognizing how difficult this transition really is. People are not only stopping work, but also making financial decisions that will affect the rest of their lives. With around 2.5 million Australians expected to retire over the next 10 years, there simply aren't enough advisors to provide one-on-one advice to everyone.
And super funds are uniquely placed to help here. They are trusted by members and can provide scalable guidance and solutions. The most effective products have gone beyond just meeting financial needs and instead address retirees' fears. Things like running out of money, loss of flexibility, or dying too early. Mm-hmm. That's why we are seeing features such as death benefits, income drawdown flexibility, multiple investment options, and liquidity built into lifetime income products. Other markets can learn from Australia's focus on combining trust, guidance, flexibility, and longevity protection, rather than treating retirement income as a one-size-fits-all problem.
Do established reinsurance solutions like longevity swaps work in the Australian market? What has Hannover Re's experience been with these?
So traditional longevity swaps work well for simple, fixed-benefit pension structures. But Hannover Re recognized early that they weren't well-suited to Australia's new breed of flexible, investment-linked retirement products. Mm-hmm. Because these products allow withdrawals, changing income levels, different reversionary structures, and investment participation. So the traditional longevity swap doesn't work as intended.
Mm. And how did you address that?
The way we approached this was to be very pragmatic. Start with the risk that truly needs managing, design, and deliver. That's allowed us to move faster and maintain consistency. For example, we've had to develop bespoke reinsurance solutions that isolate and manage the longevity risk while allowing product providers to retain the flexibility that retirees value. That close collaboration between product design and reinsurance structuring has been a defining feature of our experience in Australia and a big reason why the market has been able to innovate as quickly as it has.
Yeah, this is where it comes in handy to have a wealth of local and global knowledge that stems from decades of developing longevity solutions. And it makes a real difference to partner with someone who is empowered to act and will commit.
Exactly. That's our somewhat different approach.
Yeah. That's right. So what lessons specifically have you learned from working with partners in different countries, and how can these insights help insurers in other parts of the world?
So the key lesson that we learned is that one-size-fits-all solutions don't work. Mm-hmm. So products have to be tailored to local preferences and regulatory environments. Flexibility, education, and collaboration are essential. We regularly meet within our global longevity expert network and discuss behavioral biases that our colleagues have seen, for example, in Europe or Asia. Sharing these insights within our network early helped us shape products tailored to the Australian needs.
Mm-hmm. And looking ahead, what trends do you see in global longevity markets? And what should insurance specialists keep in mind as they develop new solutions?
One thing we've learned is that no matter how complex the underlying design is, the product must feel simple and intuitive to the retiree. Yeah. So a big part of our work is helping partners create solutions that are sophisticated behind the scene, but feel straightforward for customers. Globally, we are seeing more focus on decumulation, regulatory support for lifetime income, and product innovation. Insurers should prioritize understanding their market, developing fit-for-purpose products and investing in education for both advisors and consumers. The markets that progress fastest will be those that keep things simple and consistent. Mm-hmm. And that mirrors how we approach things. Start simple, iterate fast, and stay transparent.
Yeah, that's a great summary. So thank you both, Andrea and Chris, for talking about the Australian longevity market with us.
Thanks, Susanne. It was great to be here.
Thank you, Susanne.
So today we discussed how Australia has become a proving ground for flexible and modern retirement income solutions that other markets can learn from. We looked at how retiree behavior shapes product success, why education is essential, and how a pragmatic approach and consistent global expertise are key to creating solutions that actually work. Thank you for listening to Replay by Hannover Re, and we hope you found this conversation helpful. And if you would like to learn more about the Australian life and health insurance market, check out our episode on electronic health records. We'll link that in the show notes. Also, don't forget to subscribe for more episodes, leave us a review, and stay connected with Hannover Re on LinkedIn. Until next time.
The thoughts, ideas, documents, and other content discussed or shared in this podcast are not intended to constitute any professional advice. Hannover Re and the participants are not liable for any damages resulting from the usage of the content of this podcast. For further information, please see the show notes.